Today is Palm and Passion Sunday. Our readings from the sacred scriptures come from Psalm 118, verses 19 through 29, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, and the Gospel according to Luke chapter 22, verses 1 through 23, and also 39 through 48. The message is titled, Eagerly Done for You. Psalm 118, beginning at verse 19. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this. And it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God. And he has made his light shine upon us. With boughs in hand, join in the festal procession, up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Here ends the reading from Psalm 118. Philippians chapter 2, beginning of verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being found in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Your ends are reading from Philippians chapter 2, the Holy Gospel according to Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 1. Now the feast of unleavened bread, called the Passover, was approaching. And the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some way to get rid of Jesus, for they were afraid of the people. Then Satan enters Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12. And Judas went to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. They were delighted and agreed to give him money. He consented and watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when no crowd was present. Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John saying, Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover. Where do you want us to prepare it? They asked. He replied, As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters and say to the owner of the house, The teacher asks, Where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large upper room, all furnished. Make preparations there. They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will need it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him. They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. Now continuing at verse 39. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. Why are you sleeping? He asked them. Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. While he was still speaking, a crowd came up. And the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus asked him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? Here ends our reading from the Gospel according to Luke chapter 22. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O loving Master, shine into our hearts by the pure light of knowing you. Open the eyes of our minds to reflect on your teaching and put into us the holy respect of your blessed commandments. Lead us to set aside all that is worldly, that we may follow a spiritual life, thinking and doing all things as it pleases you. For you are our sanctification and our illumination. And to you we give all glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. A prayer from the earliest church, our prayer this day. Have you heard of these men? Korzak Zielkowski and Chief Henry Standing Bear. In the 1930s, word reached Standing Bear a monument was to be constructed at Fort Robinson in Nebraska to his maternal cousin. He wrote to the man guiding the project that he and many of his fellow Lakota leaders had formed the Crazy Horse Memorial Association and were promoting a carving of Crazy Horse in the sacred Black Hills. The sacred Black Hills. Standing Bear believed strongly that the Black Hills' spiritual significance to the Lakota was the only appropriate place for the memorial. So they began a search for the man to carve the memorial. Growing up in foster homes, Korzak was badly mistreated. He learned to work hard and gained his heavy construction knowledge and skills from his foster father. Age 16, he was on his own, working his way through technical school, which took him to be a pattern maker in the shipyards of Boston. Never taking an art lesson or sculpture, He began to study the masters. 1932, with a cold chisel in hand, he carved in marble a tribute to Judge Frederick Pickering Cabot. Judge Cabot was the Boston juvenile judge who befriended him and encouraged him, encouraged this talented boy, and introduced him to the fine arts. Fast forward, 1939, his Carrara marble portrait won first prize at the New York World's Fair. He was asked to help Gutzon Borglum at Mount Rushmore in the summer of 1939. The media reports of the World's Fair prize and working at Mount Rushmore inspired Lakota Chief Henry Standing Bear to write with the appeal for him to create the memorial. Time passed, World War II became, and he volunteered at age 34 to fight. Landing on Omaha Beach, in a little later battle, he was wounded. End of the war, many invitations to stay in Europe, to make memorials, carve them in Europe. This time he accepted Chief Standing Bear's invitation and with support of others, Korsak dedicated his life to Crazy Horse Memorial. May 1947, he arrives in the Black Hills, and over the next 36 years, without taking a salary, he worked. Also in 1947, a volunteer arrived named Ruth Ross to help Korsak build the studio and also those 741-step wooden staircase to the top of the mountain. Starting the compressor engine in the morning, climbing the 741 stairs in the morning with all the tools needed, the jackhammer, the arduous journey of taking all that up to the top to begin the task of air hammering, chiseling away the stone of the mountain. Many times a day that compressor would put, put, and stop. Down 741 stairs to start it up again, then back up 741 stairs. Ever so slowly, the work would continue through the years. Patience and hard work, perseverance, eyes set on the goal to come. Korsak married Ruth in 1950, and the family grew. Eventually, they put together three books of extensive and comprehensive measurements. These three books were prepared to ensure the continuation of the mountain carving. 1982, Korsak passed away. 74, Ruth took the lead along with family and the Crazy Horse Memorial Board of Directors. The work continues. The public areas expanded. The mission to honor the culture and heritage expanded. 2014, Ruth passed away. Four of the 10 children, along with grandchildren, they continue the work along with the Board of Directors. Work that has now been going on for 78 years. Funded entirely by private donations. The work continues. Without knowledge when the monument will be done, they still eagerly seek to honor the promise to Chief Standing Bear. Eagerly, passionately seek to honor the promise. That word eagerly is interesting. It's marked by enthusiasm. And we heard that word in our gospel reading this morning from Luke 22. Eagerly. Did you catch it when I read it? Did eagerly jump out at you? Listen again. I begin in Luke 22 at verse 14. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. The Greek is epithymia, epithymesa. It's a cognate noun along with the verb it came from, a verb of action. It's a duplo. Duplo, the two words are there. Though these words are in Greek, it's characteristically Hebrew in fashion. And in that manner, this Hebrew in fashion is to emphasize the moment. This moment is unique. I have desired with desire. Remember when Jesus was a child in Nazareth, yearly the custom of his family was to go down to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. You find this Luke chapter 2, beginning of verse 41. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. Going to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover was the established manner of worship life for Jesus from growing up. What this means is that Jesus observed many, numerous Passovers in Jerusalem through the years before his public ministry began. In the Gospel of John, three Passovers, possibly four Passovers, with Jesus being with the disciples are written about. They're found in John chapter 2, John chapter 6, and John chapter 11. That's the three definite Passovers. Some also point to John chapter 5 as occurring at the Passover. As the Greek word for feast is present in John chapter 5, which is only used when describing one of the three Jewish festivals, Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. John 7 writes about Jesus going up quietly to the festival of Tabernacles. John 7 verse 3, I begin. Jesus' brothers said to him, that's his half-brothers. Jesus' brothers said to him, leave Galilee. Go to Judea, so that your disciples there may see the works you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world. For even his own brothers did not believe in him. Therefore Jesus told him, my time is not yet here. For you, any time will do. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I testify that its works are evil. You go to the festival. I'm not going up to this festival because my time has not yet fully come. After he said this, he stayed in Galilee. However, after his brothers had left for the festival, he went also, but not publicly, but in secret. Again, that's John chapter 7. So we heard here, my time is not yet here. And it was said a second time, my time has not yet fully come. That word time, the Greek word is kairos, kairos. And it's different from chronos. Chronos is sequential time. Tick-tock, tick-tock, time moves forward sequentially. Kairos is a moment of significance. It's an appointed time, oftentimes implying and pointing to a divinely ordained moment. The divine appointing. This is the moment. That's what kairos is. Jesus saying, it's not my time. We have Jesus in Jerusalem for the festival of the tabernacles saying, it's not the moment. Going to that festival, it's not the moment. We also have Jesus celebrating Passover with the disciples at least two other times in Jerusalem, with the appearance being that they were not the divine appointment either. That wasn't a divine appointed moment either. So what makes this time of Passover, this Passover festival in Jerusalem, different? Such that Jesus would say to his disciples as they're reclining at the table, I have eagerly desired to share this Passover with you. The key is what comes next. Listen to the whole phrase from the scripture. I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Before I suffer. Suffer, as described in Philippians chapter 2, I begin at verse 6. Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being made a man. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself to become obedient to death, even death on a cross. This, before I suffer, sets this Passover feast apart from the other ones that came before. This time in Jerusalem, the divinely appointed time, the Kairos time for Jesus to suffer will come. Recall the moment when Peter declared, "You are the Christ." In Luke chapter 9, we read, immediately following that, Jesus says, Luke chapter 9, verse 22, Jesus said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. He must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." That's the turning point in the public ministry of Jesus. From then on, Jesus sets his sights for heading towards Jerusalem. Luke 18, we find this also. Of what is to come in Jerusalem, Jesus speaks about. Luke 18, verse 31. Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything is written about the prophets, by the prophets, about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, and spit on him. They will flog him and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again." This time, this Passover feast, Jesus will be betrayed, handed over, mocked, beaten, and killed. And never forget that part that Jesus said, what comes next. On the third day, he will rise again. Even with the suffering before him, coming closer and closer as they become closer and closer to Jerusalem, he still travels to Jerusalem with his disciples. Suffering coming ever so closer as Jesus tells the disciples, "Go, find a colt no one has ever ridden." They find the colt just as Jesus says they will find it. The procession begins small. Then as they approach the Mount of Olives, the growing crowd began to joyfully praise God in loud voices. What's written in Luke chapter 19, cloaks, palm branches, hosannas. The four Gospels tell us of a great procession. Great procession growing larger and larger from the valley as it rises up towards Jerusalem. With the praises ascending, as they arise ascending, and the praises more enthusiastically going as the procession ascends up ever closer towards Jerusalem. Each gospel account of the celebration procession, with each gospel adding in details which contribute to the testimony of the moment. This time in Jerusalem for the Feast of Unleavened Bread, this Passover will be different. A moment in the making for eons. Eons. Increasing the passion being spoken as eagerly desired. The meaning of the Greek is a deep feeling of passionate desire. Intensified passionate desire. Because the compound Greek word, the way it's put together, intensifies that passionate desire. This Passover, Jesus is filled with great, intense passion for the moment. For something will happen that has never happened in the ages of observing the Passover since the time of Exodus in Egypt, when the lamb was slain and the blood placed on the doorpost and lintel, and the bread was made in haste without yeast. The ordinance that God gave Moses will be changed. Exodus 11, verse 1. "Now the Lord said to Moses, 'I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt, and that he will let you go from here. And when he does, he will drive you out completely.'" One final plague, the 10th plague, the death of the firstborn. And remember, that firstborn always holds that special place in the family. The firstborn will die throughout all Egypt. Exodus verse 7 states that this will happen so that you will know the Lord makes distinction between Egypt and Israel. Exodus 12, the Lord tells Moses to reorientate all of Israel's life to begin with this month. This month is to be the first month of your year. The whole calendar of Israel is shifted to this moment. 10th day, select a lamb without defect. It must be the best lamb you have. 14th day at twilight, sacrifice your best lamb you have. Then take some of the blood, put it on the sides and top of the door frames of the houses where you eat that best lamb. Along with the instruction of preparation comes this: roast the lamb, have bitter herbs, make the bread without yeast, and leave nothing till morning. Be dressed, ready to leave. Eat in haste, for it is the Lord's Passover. The Lord's Passover. The blood will be the sign, and the Lord will pass over. The destructive plague will not touch them when the Lord strikes Egypt. Exodus 12, verse 17. Celebrate the festival of unleavened bread, because it was on this very day that I brought your divisions out of Egypt. Celebrate this day as a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. Now, many years later, in Jerusalem, Jesus says, I eagerly desired to eat this Passover with his disciples. Before he suffers, Jesus did what only the Lord can do. The Lord gave Moses the Passover. In this Passover, who is the Lord incarnate, does what has never been done before. I begin at Luke 22, verse 19. And he, that is the Lord Jesus, and he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. The eagerly desired is this giving of the new covenant. The bread is his body. The cup is his blood. A short while later in the garden, Jesus prays earnestly, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. And this is being done for you. For you. Korsak showed he was eagerly and passionate about what he was doing, because he would climb those 741 steps up and down, whenever that compressor kicked out on him. Along with that very slow process of carving a mountain, the eager passion continues the carving. Still, that eagerly desiring passion does not compare to this, to our Lord Jesus in the upper room. With this Passover feast set before him. For the granite mountain sculpture of Crazy Horse will one day fade away, as all things of this world will fade away. But that broken bread, which is the true body, and that cup of the new covenant in the blood will never fade away. For this is the true body and true blood of our Lord Jesus the Christ, instituted by Christ himself for us, given and shed for the forgiveness of sin. Quoting from Luther's Small Catechism, for where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. Whoever believes these words has exactly what they say, forgiveness of sins. And that's from the section of the Lord's Supper. Whoever believes these words has exactly what they say, forgiveness of sins. That which was given to Moses by the Lord was given for this moment in the upper room, this Kairos moment done for you. Body given for you. Blood poured out for you. For you. A moment that most likely stunned the disciples, as this was never a part of the Passover festival, never a part of the Passover feast, never, ever experienced or heard this before. That great deliverance from the bondage in Egypt is now the superior deliverance from the bondage of sin and death. As the blood of the new covenant is superior, for this body and blood is the Son of God, given and shed for you. Jesus passionately desired this for you. So he embraced the cross eagerly, and he done this for you. Yes, Christ loves you so much. Christ eagerly has done this for you. Amen and amen.